Good morning and blessed be the name of Jesus. I want to invite you for the second session, actually the third session in this term. We have already started understanding the blessedness of the church and the church that is in pilgrimage. So we see that the church of Jesus Christ is already in pilgrimage. And we discovered from the last session that the church is moving from one place to another, and the church is planted from the valley of the shadow of death. We discovered that we are in this pilgrimage because we are supposed to be a blessing. You remember when God sent or called for Abraham, man called Abraham by then, God sent for him, or God looked for him from a place called Ur of Chaldeans, and God told him to follow him, and he was to be taken to a place where God would show him later, and Abraham followed by faith. And the reason to why he was taken to a place called Canaan was God intended him to be a blessing to the Canaanites. God wanted Abraham to go and be a blessing, to go and change the life of the Canaanites. He knew that the Canaanites were cursed. The Canaanites were cursed by their grandfather, Noah. Noah, when he was drunk, and he discovered that his lastborn son Ham saw his nakedness. When he woke up from his drunkenness, he spoke a curse, and he said, "Cursed be Canaan." And that curse continued to ravage over the tribe of Ham and the Canaanites, and God had to do something concerning that. So he sent Abraham to go and bless them, to go and reverse these words, to reverse that curse. You know, a curse is spoken through speaking, and a curse can be reversed through speaking. So Abraham was sent with a blessing to go and change that. So a blessed man is the one who changes the lifestyle of others, is the one who reverts the curses spoken by other people, who reverses the curse of children spoken by their fathers and their grandfathers, and they goes out. These people, we say, they are in the valley of the shadow of death, where the psalmist called the valley of Baca, the valley of pain. And so we are sent there. So we discovered that the church at Ephesus, which is our example here, was started by a man called Paul in his second missionary and third missionary journey. And Paul came together with a couple, Aquila and Priscilla, whom had the same trait. This couple were also found themselves together with Paul because they were chased from Rome. And so they found themselves in Ephesus. So Paul began a ministry with them, and they reasoned with them from the synagogue. That's where they started this church. And we said last time, we need to know, where do we need to start a church? Where are the people of God? Who can we connect with first? It is very important for us to realize that in every city of the world, there is a way to start, to pour the blessing or to channel the blessing of God to the people of God. May we know how that happened. So Aquila was there, and Priscilla, they began from the temple, and they began from what we call the listening. Listening is a very good way. Listen is part of the way to pass on the blessing. Listening is when you ask yourself questions. Why are you here? How did you get here? Who do you believe? Why do you call God the Father? What does the Bible say concerning? So you listen with them because they have some working knowledge of what you're talking about. But in the areas where you don't have, when you find people without any working knowledge of the Bible or the theological issues, you start from nature. You discover that when Paul would go to such areas, like when he went to, I think, to is it Athens? Yes, he began by, you know, nature, where he said, God has given us the sun, the moon, the stars, the waters. So, because God must be introduced from any angle, depending on where we find people. We must pick people from where they are. But he also took another gentleman called Apollos, who was a learned man, and he came, though he did not know much about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he gave the much that he had, the baptism of John. And apparently, the church that was started took after Apollos in the beginning. Now the second issue here we want to look at, which is Acts 19, verses 1 to 7, is we want to focus on understanding the role of the Holy Spirit, and especially to the 12 disciples that were started by Apollos in the city of Ephesus. After the many or several times that Apollos was there, they are on it. We see 12 men, and these 12 men, they only knew the baptism of John, because the one who introduced them to the gospel, Apollos, only knew that. That tells you that when you go to open a church, we can only give what we have. That's why we need to partner with one another. That's why we need to partner with all the other blessings. But above all, we must partner with the Holy Spirit. I think here we want to focus on the place of the Holy Spirit in starting a church. We look at the Holy Spirit, who is the greatest influencer. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps all the people who are starting the church and those that are being started. And for the Holy Spirit, we must understand the Holy Spirit in three dimensions. Dimension number one, we understand the Holy Spirit with us. The Holy Spirit with us means he is with everyone. He is with the believers and with the unbelievers. The Holy Spirit is with us to convict us and to convince us. The Holy Spirit is with the world. The Holy Spirit is in those that are bound by the power of darkness. The Holy Spirit is in prisons. The Holy Spirit is in those areas where people are engaging in prostitution and idolatry and all manner of evils. The Holy Spirit is here because this is his world. We understand that in the beginning of the world, when God was creating the world, that the Holy Spirit was hovering over the many waters. So the Holy Spirit is not afraid of evil. The Holy Spirit has control over the evil, and he produced all order out of disorder. He produced even order out of chaos. He produced the church out of the dead. When the church is dead, he brings life. The Holy Spirit with us is the first dimension. Second, the Holy Spirit in us. When people give their life to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in ourselves. He comes in our lives. And the Holy Spirit is in us, meaning that he has found an abode. He has sealed us. He has given us his identity. He is there to encourage us. He is there to guide us. He is there to teach us. He is there to speak to us. And we can grieve him if we do not obey him. He is there to guide us. He is there to guide all of us. And it will be good for us to realize that we need to know the Holy Spirit of God. The third dimension of the Holy Spirit that the church needs to know when we are starting is the Holy Spirit upon us. The Holy Spirit upon us, he comes on us for the mission. He comes on us for the task, for the assignment. Everyone who is ready to go and minister, the Holy Spirit shall be together with them. But unfortunately here, we find a church that was started by Apollos, but did not even know the Holy Spirit. Look at here, Ephesians 19 verse 1. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived in Ephesus. So Ephesus was in the interior. There he found some disciples. Remember, they are called disciples. They are not called, they are a part of the church. In fact, they are disciples already. But whose disciples? Disciples of Apollos. And asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? You see, he's asking them about the Holy Spirit receiving. He wanted to know whether they knew the level they knew about the Holy Spirit. They wanted to know their experience with the Holy Spirit. They wanted to know their knowledge about the Holy Spirit. Look at what they said. They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, the topic of the Holy Spirit was not mentioned. So we want to encourage all of us who are starting a church to teach about the Holy Spirit. Let's focus on letting people understand the Holy Spirit, the role of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, the man of the Holy Spirit, the functions of the Holy Spirit, the forms of the Holy Spirit in the church, the Holy Spirit in the world, the Holy Spirit among, you know, key workers. Let's look at that. It's a wide topic, and we need people to understand this. They said, we have not even heard. Very, very unfortunate. Apollos knew the baptism of John, but he didn't know the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So he gave what he knew. This is the reason why we have to partner. So Paul asked them, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism. They replied, very faithful. This is what they had received. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of our Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. They were about 12 in all. Now, I want you to see up there that they didn't know the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit was already in them, but they had not known about this. You see, if you do not know that the Holy Spirit in us, we cannot be able to let him be appropriated in our lives. Thank God for people like Paul. We want to thank God for men and women who would help us to be able to connect the church and to connect with the Holy Spirit. We discovered that we need to partner together. Imagine if this church had only Apollos, they would grow only knowing the baptism of John. Now, the baptism of John was the baptism that was anticipating the coming of Jesus Christ. But the baptism of the water, maybe the other one that we need to mention, that we also need to talk about the baptisms. The baptism of water is the baptism that now talks about that Jesus has already come. You see, the difference between the baptism of John and the baptism of water is that the baptism of John was anticipating, was looking forward for the coming of Jesus. But the baptism of water is the one that is already mentioning that Jesus came. We identify with Jesus who has already come, who came and died for us and was buried on our behalf. He resurrected and he rose again and is coming again. But then there's also the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we need to know the place of the baptisms while we are teaching the new believers. May God help us. We are grateful to see Paul and the other team coming in to partner to help the church grow. So let's work together. Let's not fight together. No, let's not fight each other, but let's encourage all the partners. Even though some of them might not have the much knowledge as we have, let's bring them together and mentor them, coach them so that we can be able to work and build up the church of Jesus Christ and become a great church. So the church at Ephesus now need to know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of water, and to be compared by the baptism of John so that they can be able to run. God help us to work together and to understand the baptism in Jesus' name.